Much of the cultural portrayal of historic Route 66 evokes an image of white middle-class America with an emphasis on white. But there's a more tragic side of Route 66. Author Candace Taylor has written a book called Overground Railroad about Route 66 Green Book sites, places that were safe for African Americans to see, eat, and stay during the decades of Jim Crow and racial segregation. In advance of the Route 66 conference in Normal tomorrow through Sunday, Taylor spoke with WGLT student reporter Darnisha Mitchell about her book. Taylor says the book idea began when she had a commission to write a travel guide and an earlier book on counterculture. Taylor says she found most books on Route 66 were written by white males, and she is a black woman.
It was striking to me that there was this agency around, you know, we want to celebrate this nostalgia factor of the middle class white nuclear family jumping into their Airstream trailers in the 1950s. And I thought, well, what did the black folks do? And, you know, because I'd never seen any black imagery or anything of other cultures on Route 66, especially that were celebrating this 1950s era nostalgia. And once I started asking that question is how I found the Green Book. I saw my first copy at the Autry Museum in Los Angeles, and I had never seen such a thing. I never knew such a thing existed. And I ran out and called my parents and asked them, you know, do you know about this? And my mother didn't know, but my stepfather, he grew up in Tennessee in the Jim Crow South, and he had remembered the Green Book.
You've cataloged 9,600 Green Book listings, scattered over 3,600 Green Book sites and 160 Green Book properties in 48 states. And you also said you found one third of these sites to still be standing and less than 5% are still in operation. Talk a little bit more about what you observed when you visited these properties.
Well, it's been a journey. You know, I've taken many trips. And as you said, I mean, right now I'm up to over 9,700 sites that I've cataloged and about 4,000 that I've actually visited. And it's striking to me. I mean, I've mapped all of these as well. And so when I look at my maps, I can see that they are clustered. Most of these Green Book sites, about 80%, are clustered in traditional black neighborhoods, whether it's Harlem or Bronzeville or South Central in Los Angeles. And within those clusters, you find this vibrant, especially during the time that they were listed in the Green Book, was during the second wave of the Great Migration. So there were these vibrant communities opening up in these cities because a lot of black folks were moving from the South into Philadelphia and Detroit and whatever. So these were places that were historically black, had been black for several decades, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And so when I went to those areas today, it was again very striking and intense, because in some cases, you know, there's areas obviously of South Central where the Dunbar is a Green Book site. It's tree-lined streets. There's kids playing. It's not the scary South Central that we've been told, you know, or that maybe in the 80s when there were a lot of shootings. It's not that South Central today. So there were some areas that were refreshingly and pleasant. And then there were others that were extremely dangerous and sad. And I saw a level of poverty most Americans, I don't think, even know exist in this country. And violence, which we hear about on the news. But being in a place like Chicago on the South Side, where 23 people have been shot that weekend, the weekend I was there, in the neighborhood that I was in, because I've been to Chicago many, many, many times. It's a beautiful city. It's one of my favorite cities. But the majority of the violence happens in these very small clusters, and that happened to be the area where these Green Book sites were. And so places like that, Detroit, Miami, I had to leave Miami early because I did not feel safe. I've been lunged at and, I haven't been physically assaulted. There have been attempts of people chasing me. So it's a very, it was an intense process. And I'm still doing the scouting because I've only scouted about 4,000 sites, just less than half of what I'm going to do. So I travel with a stun gun, with mace and a knife, but I do think it's important to go to some of these communities and see how some of these places have retained their dignity despite, all of the problems that have happened with their financial issues and mass incarceration. There's so many factors, there's so many government factors that have contributed to this state that these communities are in. So I don't want to badmouth Detroit or Chicago. I don't think it's the people in the community, I don't think it's their fault that the situation is what it is. But it was very surprising to me to see how extreme it was.